And then we're going to think about a few things tonight. We've got some exciting things coming up. It's a new year, so we're always planning new things. I don't know what it is about a new year, but it helps us to refocus, realign. God is the same, but we need maybe clocks to turn and calendars to flip, and then it helps us to refocus again. So we're gearing up to do life groups. If you don't know what they were, we used to call them connect groups, and then we changed the name. I don't know why, but we just did, because it's a new time, and so we think new season, new name, whatever. But really all it is just small groups coming together, talking about God, being in connection with each other and looking out for each other. That's really all it is. Believing that better together, that it's better to be together than just be alone all of the time or some of the time. So if you would like to find out more about the life groups, we've got a sign-up sheet over there, and we've got one out there in the way going out on your left-hand side. So if you'd like more information, they're called sign-up, but we will not tie you to them. So if you want more information and then you decide, no, it's not for me, then that's absolutely fine. It's just so you can get more information. We are going to have them in 5 or 6 different locations, so hopefully there'll be one close to you, and if there's not, we'll pray about it, and hopefully we'll be able to get one to you. So at the moment, we've got one in Dungannon. We're going to have one in Armagh. Obviously, you might have more than one in Armagh. We're going to have one in Portadown. We're going to have one in Warren Point, one in Market Hill, and I think one more in Katy, just because it's the center of the universe, and if you're not sure where that is, I'll show you on the map later. So that's where they're going to be. So we're excited for that. Life groups, if you'd like more information, then sign up in the sheet. We're also doing another thing, which is just amazing. Andrew's not here tonight, but Lee is here. These guys have a wealth of knowledge. They've been through Bible college. They're just super smart, so much better than any of us. Only joking. They just have some good stuff under their belt. And so we're going to do a thing called an essentials course. And we called it essentials because we just think it'll add a good foundation to your faith. So whether you've been saved maybe 5 years or 5 minutes, then we would encourage you to do this if you haven't done something like that before. And even if you have, it'll be a great, just a great refresher for you in your walk with God. Because we believe if you've got a good foundation in your faith and a good grasp of the things of God, then it's going to help you to move forward. Sometimes you just don't know what you don't know, and it really hinders you. So that's the heart behind that. We're doing an essentials course. We're hoping both the life groups and that essentials course will start in the next few weeks. So I encourage you, if you want more information on that, then see me or any of the rest of the guys. We also have another baptism coming up. We did a baptism just a few months back, and we had an incredible time. Just water baptism, just a command of the Lord, just fulfilling that, going for that, means so much to us, means so much to the Lord. We're going to do another one of those nights. So if you've never maybe thought of baptism, but suddenly it just strikes your heart now, then I encourage you to come have a chat with me. I'd love to tell you more about it, or talk to someone who's done it, because it really is, it just has such an impact on your walk. It is a command of the Lord, and it does something dynamic in your spirit. So I encourage you to think about that, pray about that. We're hoping to do one of those maybe around February, March time. There's a handful of people that have said already, so there is plenty of space for more. And if you're keen on that, then let us know. We're doing that as well. What else are we thinking about? We are planning to go to South Africa this summer. So we didn't get to go to a missions trip last year because it just didn't work out, but we're believing that maybe this year we're going to go on a missions trip. So we've been twice before to South Africa, 3 times to the Philippines, and if you would like more information about that, then come and see some of us and we will fill you in with more info. A lot of this will be going up on our website if it's not there already. What else am I going to tell you about real quickly? We've been raising money for downstairs. We believe for $15,000. So far, if you don't know the story, we needed $45,000 to buy this place in a month. We got it in Jesus' name in a month and a half. We needed it in 2 months, sorry. We got it in a month and a half just by people giving, just like you giving, and God was extraordinary. And since that, we've doubled that amount, and people have continued to give, and now we're on the final stage, which is downstairs, and we were believing for $15,000. So at this point, we're up to $12,500, which I think is pretty amazing. So we're giving God praise on that. And just aside from that, the Killyhevelin Hotel, which have blessed us so much, have blessed us with the seats you're sitting in so far. So if you've never been to the Killyhevelin, you need to book a ticket straight away and get there, because they have blessed us so much. Nicola's not here tonight, but through her family in the Killyhevelin, they've blessed us. So we also got 2 sofas today, which is just amazing. Just 2 brand new sofas. They just got tired of them after a year or something like that. We will not get tired of them. We received them with gladness. So we're just giving God praise for that and thanking those guys. I think that is all the things that I want to say. So, hey, let's just pray for one more quick second. Lord, I just thank you for your heart tonight. I thank you for Joanne again, Lord. I thank you for open and an honest kind of conversation about big issues and big problems and big things that happen in our lives. It's the only way, Lord, removing the secrets and just bringing them into the light. And I thank you that your marvelous light really is marvelous. It changes everything. I pray tonight, Lord, that it will be an enlightenment in our spirits, in our minds, in our thoughts. Lord, wherever we need it tonight, that you would transform us from the inside out. Lord, I pray you just give us ears to hear now, Lord, and just focus and settle our hearts that we can receive from you in your precious name. Holy Spirit, will you come and do new things in this place? Amen. Amen. So I was praying and believing for tonight and thinking, what would God want us to talk about? What would God encourage us to think about? And I can't get past the new year. Maybe it's just me, but I love the idea of the new year, new season, dreaming up new ideas, refocusing, resetting sometimes, forgetting what has gone before and looking forward to what's to come. You know, just getting a new start. And I love all of that. I love all of that. And I felt what God was saying for tonight and what he wanted to encourage us with was that changes are happening all of the time. Sometimes they're painful in our lives. James and Linda have just had a big change. A baby has come. It's going to be a blessing. But there'll be times where they'll be like, stop crying, you know, or just whatever. But changes happen all of the time. And so in 2016, I just had this sense, which is not a new thing, but God is going to do big things in our hearts and lives this year. He's going to do big changes in our lives. It's inevitable. The world never stops. It's constantly turning. And the thing about change is you're either part of the change, you're either initiating the change, or you're responding to the change, because change just comes. There's something always changing. There's a friendship that's always changing. There's a job that's changing. There's life that's changing. There's issues that come into your life and you never even anticipated them. There's other issues that are in your life and you know full well why they're there, because you did something different. You changed something. You made a choice. You made a decision. And I felt God was saying tonight that nothing stays the same. We're either being changed or we're changing something. We're either forcing something or we're enforcing something. We're either being forced to change or we're enforcing change ourselves. And I felt God was saying tonight, what are we going to change as we come to 2016? What are the changes that we're going to make? You know, I was thinking back to Genesis 1, and I was thinking about the garden. I was thinking about how God created the perfect heaven, the perfect earth, and then he set Adam and Eve into the garden, and it was almost like, look after this place. Look after this world. He says, come and have dominion over this world. Just have dominion over it. Look after it. It becomes your world. I have the universe, I have the heavens, and you have this. And I thought this idea of God being a gardener and coming to the garden and just clearing up space to put new plants in or new trees in. And I thought to myself about God coming to us and, you know, maybe wanting to pull some things up, maybe wanting to change some things. But then there comes a point in our hearts and our lives where we have to say, God, okay, I'm willing to be changed there. I'm willing to make space there. Because it's hard to plant new things if there's no room. It's just hard to plan. It's just simple logistics. It's just very logical. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. It's hard to make room if there is no room. And I felt God was saying as we look forward to this year and whatever the plans and whatever the things that you've got that you're looking forward to and the things you're excited about, God is saying, I'm ready to do new things in you. I'm ready to do big changes in you, but there might be some things you're going to have to pull out. There might be some things that I'm going to pull out. There might be some things that are sore, but it's going to be worth it in the long run. How are we willing for change? What is our response when change comes? We're either resisting all of it all of the time, or we're open for it all of the time, or we're going steady with God and we're just saying, sometimes there's change and sometimes I stay the same. Sometimes I make room and sometimes I hold on. And God is saying tonight, what are the changes that we're going to have to make? Change is inevitable, and every time change happens, it usually leads to something bigger. You know, when we make small changes in our lives, it usually leads to new paths, new opportunities. Think about a job change. You could change your job, and it could completely change the whole path and whole direction of your life. You could change a relationship, a friendship, whatever, and it could completely change the path of your life. You heard from Joanne's life, just in her life story, and choices have big impacts. I mean, she went down a certain path, and before you know it, her whole life was changed because that one change, that one decision just led to a whole life change. It led to a whole path change. And I was having to think about this, and I was reading Psalm 37:23. This is what it says. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And I felt as I read this verse this week, and I was praying about it today, I felt God saying, there's people in here, and they're just sick of getting it wrong. They're just sick of the pressure of what's my next step? What's my next direction? Where am I supposed to go next? How am I supposed to please everybody? What am I supposed to do? And I felt as God was speaking to me through this verse, he was saying, the pressure is off. Because look what it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. I mean, our focus is not, where are we supposed to go? Our focus is this: how can I make changes in my life so I get closer to God? How can I make changes in my life so I've got more room for Him? Because the more I have of Him, the more He's going to be able to direct my steps. And I felt this year, God is saying, I've got big plans in store for you, but I wonder, have you got big plans in store for me? I wonder, have you got big plans to make room in your heart for me? And I think we can get consumed with lots of other good things, and we'll talk about them in just a few moments' time, and we can get consumed with this and with that, and they're all reasonable, good, great things. But God said tonight, I've got big plans for you. And I want to tell you this evening, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. You know, there's nobody that knows our lives better than God. There's absolutely nobody. There's nobody knows the finer details of your life better than Him, because He made you. That's how you get it. That's how it works out, because He made you. There's nobody knows it better than Him. And so tonight we can get focused on the details and focus on, Lord, am I going to be A, B, C, or D? And God's just saying, all I want for you to get is me. All I want for you to get is me in your heart. That's all that you're going to need. Because if you have me, I will direct your steps. I will make the way straight for you. I will be a lamp onto your feet. I'll be a path onto your guide. I will show you where you need to go. And you can just be sheep, and I'll be the shepherd. Ever heard that before? You know, He'll be the good shepherd, and He will lead the sheep along where they need to go. And that's what the Lord is saying tonight. And I believe that is the word of the Lord for us as we go into 2016 and we're into the first few weeks of it. And we're thinking to ourselves, what changes do I need to make? What diet plans do I need to initiate? What gym passes do I need to get? You know, what big changes do I need to make in work? And all of those things are good things. And God's just saying, but I want to do even bigger things if you would just make big room for me in your heart. What are the changes that we have to make as we look forward to 2016? What's the new things God is going to do in you? You know, I was thinking about that. What are the new things that God is going to do in me in 2016? And what are the new things that God's going to do in you? What are the big life changes? Steve and Lisa are getting married in a few weeks' time. That is a big life change. It's going to change their life forever, and it's an incredible thing. It's a great thing. Suddenly, everything changes, and it's just new paths and new ways that they've never been down before. But God has been there before. He knows the end from the beginning. He's got it all made straight. He's got it worked out. He knows how to keep them. He's been there before. He's all sufficient. He's got what they need. And so tonight, what do we need? I think we need more Jesus, and as we get more of Him, everything changes. What's the new things that God's going to do in you? I'm hoping that's getting an excitement in your heart tonight. What are the new things that God is going to do in me in 2016? Because I'm interested to know how my life is going to be in 2017 when I'm here a year later, if the Lord waits kind of thing. You know, if life pans out the way I plan. What's going to have happened in this next year? I hope that your heart is filled with excitement when you think about that. And if it's filled with dread, then we're going to pray and we're going to believe for something to change, because it should be overflowing. Because the closer we are to the Lord, the more security we have, the more peace that we have, the more the insecurities flee, the more the anxieties and worries go, and the more that we can just have peace in a good God. It's important to know God is good, and He's good all the time, and He's got good things in store for you. What changes are we willing to make? What changes are we willing to make? Because God is wanting to do big things in your life. He's wanting to do big changes in your life this year. But what are you going to let Him do? Here's the great thing about God. He says this: it's your choice to accept me. It's your choice to follow me. It's you. You want to be my disciples? Then take up your cross, deny yourself, follow after me. You've got to do this thing. Because I'm not after robots. I'm after real life people. I'm after real life relationship. And the only way to get relationship is voluntarily. It's the only way. It's the only way. And so God's saying tonight, I want to make big changes in your heart, but how many changes are you going to allow me to make? What if we decided tonight that we said yes to Jesus? What if we decided tonight, not just in terms of salvation and saying yes to Jesus as being our Savior, but what if we said yes to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready for more changes this year. I'm ready for more changes this year. I'm ready for you to do something in my heart and in my life. Read these verses a few weeks ago, but I felt they were just relevant again for tonight. It says in Isaiah 43:16-21, this is what the Lord says. So we want to know what our friends say. We want to know what somebody else says. This is what the Lord says. This is great advice tonight. Isaiah 43:16, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they might proclaim my praises. This is what the Lord is saying tonight. This is his word tonight. And it's as true back then, thousands of years ago, as it is today. Because the Lord is faithful. And he's always doing a new thing. And so this evening, what is God looking to do in your heart? Can we believe him for that? Can we take the word of God and just apply it to our hearts tonight? God says, I'll make your paths straight. I'll make a way through the seas. I'll make a way through the mighty waters. I'll cancel out your enemies. I'll extinguish the things that will try to get in your way. I'll raise you up. You're a chosen people. And all I'm asking for is you would just proclaim my praises, is that you would just keep on following me, that you would make room so that I could make room in your heart, that you would make room so that I could go in your life. God is saying there's so many other good things out there, but there's nothing that beats me. There's nothing that beats me. I will make changes where changes could never be made before. And maybe we're here tonight and God's just saying, you need to forget the former things. You need to forget the things that are in the past. You just need to forget them now. You just need to forget them now. You just need to move on from them, because they're either holding you back because you've done really well, or they're holding you back because you've done really bad. It's just it. I guess that's the only reasons they're holding us back, because we're either living off past success and thinking, well, wasn't I good? Didn't I have a great time? Didn't I do good things? Did you ever see what I did? And then let me show you the video or whatever. And we're just being held back from the things that we used to do instead of the things that God wants to do today, the here and now, and what he wants to do in the future. Or it's like that sad song or that sad slideshow, and we're like, did you see what happened to me? And then, you know what I mean? It's just like, did you know what happened to me last year? Can you believe it? And all of those things are important. They're not that they're not important, but there's a time and season for those things. And I felt that God was saying to you, to me, that those things are past now. It's a new year. The full stop has been added. We're ready to write a new sentence. We're into the new chapter. It's time to do something new. And what are we going to write this year? What are we going to achieve this year? What are we going to do for God? You know, God is always doing something new, but what are we going to do for God? And what are we going to allow God to do through us this year as we get ready? Forget the things in the past, it's time to press forward. I'm thinking tonight about change that matters. I'm thinking about changes in my life that I'm going to make that are going to matter. You know, I was thinking about it this week. We could put good rules in place. We could put good rules in place in terms of our relationship with God, but then we just get consumed with rules. And if you want to break a rule, you'll get around it. So even good rules are not good enough. I mean, we can put good changes in place, and then we can get to a change that's going to affect everything. You already know what it is, and I'll come to it in just a moment. But you can make a change that will affect everything, or you can just put good things in place. Now, these things are good, but they are never going to keep you if you're looking to get around them. You can bypass them. Good rules, we'll bend them, we'll break them, we'll get around them. Good plans, even good plans, we'll get around them. If something hasn't changed on the inside, if our heart hasn't been affected, if something hasn't changed in our mind and our thoughts and our deeds, then even our good plans will be affected because of what we're thinking on the inside, because of what we're feeling. I was thinking about, you know, your computer. You can put good antivirus on your computer. That is a good, positive change that you could do in your computer. But here's the thing. You don't even really need antivirus if you decide to not do silly things on your computer. This is the thing. You can make changes in your life that have a lasting effect and really affect everything, or you can just put good practices in place. And I felt like God was saying tonight is that we can put good practices in place, which are important, or we can just make some big change in our life that's going to affect everything else. I'm going to come to it in a moment. You know, the funny thing is, I, for years, work in IT, that's what I do. I never had antivirus for years. Just thought there's no point to it. Simple reason for this. If you get a stupid email, then you know it's a stupid email. You delete it. The only reason you get a virus on your computer is because you click on the stupid email, and it says you've won £1 million, and you click on the link, and there you go. You get a virus. I mean, it's just, that's the way it works. Or you get an email through and it says, here's a load of photos of your friends, and your friends didn't send you any photos, and you open up the folder and boom, you get a virus. You know, that's kind of what it does. That's the changes. And so God has sent tonight, I'm looking to make big changes in your heart. I'm looking to make big changes. I'm not looking just to do behavioral changes. I'm not looking just to do better attitudes. I'm going to have a better attitude in this way, going to be better in that way. I'm looking to do something bigger than that. God, I believe tonight is saying this. If we would make a change in our heart, that would capture our heart, that would change our hearts forever, that our hearts would suddenly become ablaze for the Lord, then everything would change. And why do I think this? It's because whenever I fall in love with somebody, I have no thoughts ever of cheating on them. Whenever I fall in love with somebody, I'm automatically wanting to change in every aspect of my life. Whenever I fall in love with somebody, it's like my attitude that was not that great before suddenly starts to get better because I love this person. I want to change. I'm automatically changing from the inside out. The Lord is saying tonight, if you fall in love with me, everything starts to change. All those other changes that are positive, that are helpful, they suddenly happen automatically. And I felt God was saying tonight for us is that we can make good changes that are good for the sake of being good, or we could just make a great change that would just automatically affect everything else. And I believe God is saying tonight, if our hearts would catch a blaze, if our hearts would start to rage for him, if they would just start to burn for him, I mean, all those other things would automatically start to change. All those other things that we've tried for so long to make right, all those other things that we were like, I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to stop going here, I'm going to stop saying this, I'm going to stop doing that, I'm going to read more, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to do all those good positive changes. See, all of those things, they would just start to happen because we get the main thing, the main thing. We get the main thing, the main thing. And all those other things are good, I'm saying it, they're good, but they're just exhausting whenever you haven't got the main thing in place. When our hearts start to burn for the Lord, when we start to really love Jesus, whenever we start to get his love inside of our heart, we do all those other things automatically. That's the way love works. That's the way love works and why God says, I'm not looking for religion, I'm looking for relationship. I'm not looking for good rule keepers. I'm looking for people that will make room in their heart for me and their hearts will start to burn. And this change, I believe, will change everything. When I love, I automatically start to change my desires. Whenever I'm in love with the Lord, whenever I'm in love with Jesus, my desires just automatically change. I can give testimony of my own life. Hopefully you can do the same for yours. Desires that you thought meant everything to you over a period of time, they just start to shift. They start to change. Before, if you were told to make a change in that desire, you'd be like, no way. I'm never giving up on that thing. But once you started to focus more on God and his desires became more your desires, suddenly those things just slip away. They just change. Your thoughts, I believe your thoughts are just going to automatically change. The more time, the more you're in love with Jesus, the more you're just connected with him, the more your thoughts will automatically change. You won't have to battle with those things. Ambitions, I mean, the closer you get to God, the less ambitions you have for the things you used to have. You're just like, I just want to serve God. I just want to do his things. Wherever he wants me to go, I'm going to go. If he asks me to get a promotion at work, I'll go for that. If he calls me here, there, I'm just going to go for that. All I really want to do is get closer and closer to Jesus. He will change all my bad attitudes. He will take away all the things that I used to struggle with. He will change me completely from the inside out. Proverbs 4:23 sums it up really well. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You know? If we can keep our hearts right, if we can keep our hearts close to Jesus, if our hearts can stay close to him, everything else will flow from that. Everything else will flow from that. And so I'm believing tonight we're going to make changes that will affect all things. I looked up momentum. Love the word. We did it an outreach a few years ago. We called it momentum. I just love the idea of momentum. I love the idea of something starting and then momentum gains and it just keeps going. This is what a definition says. The strength or force that something has when it's moving. The strength or force that something has when it's moving. Suddenly things get a life of themselves. Suddenly things just start to take course of themselves. They almost seem to go by themselves. Or the strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow stronger or faster as time passes. And I believe tonight that God is saying our changes and our life directions, which are automatically affected by each other, automatically gain momentum. They automatically take us somewhere. And I believe tonight that the changes lead to momentum shifts in our lives. That the changes that we make maybe at the start of this year could actually have a complete momentum shift in our whole life from here to there for maybe the next 10 years, the next 15 years, the next 20 years. Just that small change that starts off small could end up having such a big impact that momentum just starts to carry it. And before you know it, that decision just has a life of itself. You know what a great example of it is? It's that just... Even Vibe. Yeah, I could think of so many, but I think of Vibe just right off the top. We just start off with the idea of like, God, we're going to make some changes. So a few of us just get together and we're like, let's make some changes. You know what the initial change was? Was that there was half a dozen of us in church and we didn't even know each other. That was simply the first change. We just said, I think, or it wasn't me, but we just said, hey, we should just get together and just chat and stuff. It was the most awkward change you would ever believe, because everybody didn't know each other. So it was like, so awkward, what are you? Yeah, it was just like really, really awkward. Are you okay? I'm fine, I just don't know you yet. But that change led to something just incredible. Just a snowball effect started. You know, it's like that small snow. Me and Jessica and Bethany were building a snowman last Christmas, and we started off with something small, and snow gets heavy really quickly. The more that you roll it, it just becomes huge. So we built this huge snowman. I mean, it nearly broke my back lifting it, but it was, they loved it, and that's all they've talked about ever since. You know, momentum just gains something. It's just something happens. It can start off small, and before you know it, just something huge arrives, because momentum starts to gain traction of itself. There's a life inside of that choice. There's a life inside of that change. And you can see it in Vibe. We're all here tonight just simply because a few guys decided to make one change, which was, let's talk to each other. And then we started to make a few more changes. And then before you know it, God's just, he's built something, he's changed something. And so, for as great as that could be, imagine the alternative. Where we start off small and we just make a small change in our life this year. And before you know it, it takes us down a path that we never intended to go. And momentum builds, and we end up in a place where we never really wanted to be there. Even Joanne shared it in her testimony. You end up in with a label that you never really fully thought out, and before you know it, you've got this label, and it's like everybody else knows you by this label. It's like, how do I change things? Because momentum is just crazy. It just seems to gain something, and before you know it, you can't even stop it, and then it's just gone. And so I felt God is saying tonight, changes are really important, and even small things, small changes can lead to momentum shifts in our lives. What are the changes that God's asking us to do? I want to read just, or remind you of a couple of stories tonight. I'm just going to read just a handful of verses because the story is just too long to be able to read it to you tonight. But it's about King Saul from the Old Testament. Here's this king. He was the first king of Israel. And so you've got the children of Israel. You remember the story that came from Moses. They came out of the persecution, went through the wilderness. Then they get to the promised land that they wanted. And then before you know it, the people just want more and more things. And they turn around at one stage in 1 Samuel. And they just says, we just want a leader now. We want a king that we can look at. You know, we were happy enough with you, God, up there. But we want to see somebody down here. And so God's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how he's feeling at this point, but he's probably thinking these people are a lot of trouble. Probably the way that he feels about us many a time, where he just says, you guys are a lot of trouble, but I love you and you're worth it. And God needs you to know that tonight. And so he raises up this king. And it says in 1 Samuel 10:10, this is talking about Samuel came to Saul. And it says in 1 Samuel 10:10, the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. You know, Samuel came to Saul, and a significant change happened in his life. He suddenly went from a person who was maybe just a normal person like me and you, where now suddenly he's thrust in this position. He's going to be the first king of Israel. He's got responsibility. He's got commands. And now the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and great things are taking place. A big change has happened in his life. But here's the thing about a big initial change. It does not always guarantee a great end. It does not always guarantee a great middle. It does not always guarantee that you're going to stay that course. Because again, an initial decision can be a great thing, but then it's the follow-up after, but in between. It's the follow-up as we go. God says, I'm not just looking new Christians in a sense of decision makers. I'm looking followers. I'm looking people that are making a decision to go this way and then are actually going that way, or actually walking this way. And so God's saying tonight, I'm looking for people that are not only saying the right things, but doing the right things and going the right places. They're headed the right direction. They are followers of Jesus. God is saying tonight, I'm looking for Christians that have active faith, that have faith that's going to move mountains. And if you're going to move a mountain, you're actually going to have to move it. And God's saying, I'm looking for people that are going to cover the whole earth. I'm looking for people that are going to this place and that place and going to tell people about Jesus. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to walk there. There's going to have to be action. There's going to have to be following. And God's saying tonight, this is what I'm looking for. So King Saul, he started off for Saul, and he becomes King Saul, started off well. And then God gives him many commands through his life, but there's one just in the middle of 1 Samuel 15. And God gives him a command, and he says, King Saul, God comes and he says, Saul, I need you to do something. He gives him clear instructions. He's got to go to the enemies, and God says to him, you are going to have the power and the ability to wipe out these enemies. I want you to wipe them totally out. I don't want them to be anything left of them. I want them to totally disappear. God gives him clear instructions. But Saul starts to get his own ideas. He starts to make his own choices. He starts to make his own changes. And bit by bit, changes are starting to spiral in his life. And changes, even though an initial change had happened in terms of God's Spirit coming powerfully on him, becoming king over Israel, becoming God's chosen man, suddenly change starts to pile up. And before you know it, a momentum starts to gather in the opposite direction. He doesn't do what God calls him to do. The prophet Samuel comes to him and says, "You haven't done what God has called you to do." And he's like, "But of course I have." And Samuel's like, "No, you have not." And it ends up in 1 Samuel 15:10 and says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel." Wait to hear this for a sad verse. It says, "I regret that I have made Saul king." I regret that I've made, this is God speaking, "made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." And God is saying tonight, "I want you to carry out the plans and purposes that not only I've got for you, but the plans and purposes that I need to do through you. And the only way I'm going to do them is if there's just change in your life, and there's constant following, and there's constant serving, and there's constant just going after me. And the way that you're going to achieve this is by making those changes in your life and in your heart that says, 'God, I just want to have a heart that is set ablaze for you. God, I want to have a heart that's willing to submit. I want to have a heart that's willing to bend. I want to have a heart that's open. I want to have a heart that's willing to say, I've got it wrong sometimes. I want to have a heart that's big enough to say sorry. I want to have a heart that will be able to come before God and say, 'God, I repent. I turn around. Because some of the mistakes that I've made, they're not acceptable. I need to turn around before you.'" You know, the thing about Saul was, he could have repented at any stage along the way. He just was not really prepared to do that. God is saying, "I know you're going to make mistakes. I know that you're going to make changes that you didn't fully grasp or you didn't understand, or even changes that were thrust upon you. But how are we going to react when they come? Are we going to continue to go that way? Maybe is there going to be a turning around? Is there going to be a coming back to God? Is there going to be, 'God, I know I should have done it. I'm sorry, I got to make a change back. I got to make a change in my life.'" The very end of Saul's life, he goes from a person chosen by God, called by God, a man just above all men. He was like a leader that you wanted to lead. He was king in the making from day one. He was a guy that you looked up to and wanted to be. Before you know it, he's after God's chosen person, which is David. He just wants to take him out. He's looking to destroy all these different things in between. And he becomes an angry person and a mad person. And it says in 1 Samuel 16:14, it says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." And it says that an evil spirit come upon him and just tormented him. You know, what a sad conclusion to you would say, a great man's life. Starts off, he's called by God, he's purposed by God, he makes a big change in his life, and he receives the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of the Lord comes powerfully on him time and time again if you read the story. But because of lack of lasting change in his life, and ultimately, his downfall was this, is that his relationship with God was paper thin. His relationship with God was paper thin. He was willing to do God things. He was willing to do the right things. He was willing to do the kingly things. He was willing to do what he should do. But the ultimate relationship that cost him in the end was his relationship with God, his Heavenly Father. And I believe tonight we got to make changes in our lives as we look forward to this new year and say, "But God, I've got to have a relationship with you that's stronger than anything else. I've got to have a relationship with you that's just deeper and stronger than any other relationship that I've got, because I know I'll run the risk if it's paper thin, if it's not watertight, if it's not tight, if it's not together, if it's not close, if it's not full of love, I know I'll be the loser because you're great. You're always great." And it ends up lasting legacy of Samuel's and of Saul's, and it's like, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." And your changes will gather momentum, and then it's hard to turn right. And I just want to encourage you tonight, what are the changes that we're going to make this year as we go on? What are some of the changes that maybe you've already decided? What are some of the big changes, the small changes, the in-between? Because they are going to gather momentum, and sometimes it's very hard to turn right. You know, God is great. He can reach us no matter where we end up. But sometimes the choices that we make nearly make it impossible for us to come back. It nearly makes it impossible for us to turn around. And so I don't even want to run the risk of even heading that direction or anybody heading that direction, but instead, just sold out for God. Just sold out for God. I'm making room for him. I'm making space for him. I need you, Jesus, more than anything else. Like a snowball, said at the start, starts at the top of the hill. By the end of it, you could end up with an avalanche. You could end up with something with destructive force like you wouldn't even believe. But it starts off with something really small at the top of the mountain. That's what life is like. And so what are the changes that we're making? What are the changes that we are going to make in our hearts? Because God's coming to make changes in our lives, but I wonder what are the changes that we're going to make? What are some good changes, some good positive things that we're going to make in our lives? What are we deciding for 2016? Because God's got plans, but you know, what are we deciding? What are we going to allow in almost? What are we going to allow God to do in me? Which seems like a crazy statement, but what are we going to do in 2016 with the good God that we know? What are we building in our lives? What are we building? You know, what are we building in our lives? I mean, we could be building our career. Is that what we're going for? Is that what God's calling us to? Are we going to build things in our lives that are ultimately going to get in the way of Jesus? Are we going to build things that are going to help us in our relationship with Him? Are we going to build things that are actually just going to end up being a hindrance and are going to get in the way and make it virtually impossible to have time for God? What are we building? And I want to encourage you this, as we're pretty much done, is that how do we know what the right changes to make are? How do we know what the right ways to go, what the right decisions are to do? And I just felt like God just gave me a real simple piece of advice that touched my heart and maybe it'll touch yours. And I felt God was saying that, just make your decision based around me. Make your change based around me. How's that going to affect me and God? How's that going to affect me and Jesus? How's that going to help with us? You know what I mean? You know, if you really love someone and you were living next door to them, then the hardest decision, the craziest, hardest decision that you would ever come to would be the one that says, I've got to move away. I've got to move away. That would just be the craziest decision that you would ever make. You'd have to know without a shadow of a doubt you're meant to move away because you love the person next door. You just love them. And God's saying tonight, what about when it comes to our big decisions and our big choices and our big changes of just saying, God, how's that going to affect me and you? How's that going to affect our relationship? What's going to get in the way if I do that? Finish off with last verse and the last thought, and hopefully something just speaks to our lives. Just as I was praying and just asking God, I just felt this small word, seek. I just felt this small word. This is what it says in Jeremiah 29:13. Not Jeremiah 29:11, but 13. I think this is the answer to maybe 11. It says, you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. You're going to get all the good things that I've promised. You're going to get all the good things. You're going to go through all the bad things. You're going to be more than an overcomer. You're going to go through times which you just could not possibly go through. But here's the secret of the whole success. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's connected to our hearts. It's connected to searching for God. It's connected in a seeking of Jesus. And I felt God was just saying, that is the secret to all of our lives. It's not more money. It's not finding the right girl or the right boy. It's not trying to get the right car or the right job. It's about seeking. And if we get that, everything else just flows from it. I just totally believe it. I'm totally convinced of it. It's not a preference. It's a conviction. I'm convinced of it. I'm absolutely convinced of it. If we'll seek Him with our whole hearts, if we'll go looking for Him, if we'll seek Him, if we'll make changes for Him, if we'll go for Him, if we'll properly get geared up for Him, will not be disappointed. He will reveal all things and He will give us the desires of our heart. This is the change that I'm making most of my life this year. This is the change. To seek Him more. To seek Him more. Just to seek Him more in prayer. To seek Him more in worship. I was made to worship, so I'm going to worship. What about that? The Bible tells me that we were made to worship, so I'm actually going to do it. Wouldn't that be good? You know, instead of worrying, instead of freaking out, I'm actually going to worship. I'm just going to do that. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to worship. I'm going to say, God, okay, you've made me to worship, so I'm going to worship. I'm going to stick a worship CD on or whatever, or however way you worship with the Lord. I'm going to do that. I was made to follow Him, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to follow Him. I mean, rather than following loads of other things, rather than following loads of people on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, I'm actually just going to follow Jesus. What about that? You know, that would not be amazing just to do that. You know, I'm just worried about direction. I'm wondering what the Lord says. You know what I'm actually going to do? I'm just going to read the Bible because it sounds pretty good. You know, I'm just actually going to do that. And I just felt like God was saying to us tonight is that if we're not careful, we're just going to overcomplicate it like we did last year. Or we're going to overcomplicate it like we did in 2015. And instead of just keeping it real and keeping it simple, if I want a relationship, what I do, spend time. What I do, spend time, pray, seek Him. Just spend time with Him, worship Him, read, just seek Him out. Seek Him out. And if I seek Him with my whole heart, something's going to change. I was made for freedom. and I don't want anything else. Let's stand together. We're going to finish with a song.